Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a very, very crowded Monday. Actually surprised at all the stories we have today. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. 1 hour from now, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. Joy and I were traveling all weekend long. She was in Miami. I was hanging out with my kids in Vegas. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. A nice weekend. Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you, Colin.
Thank you. I saw a picture of you and your brothers.
Yes.
In Miami. And by the way,
they got all the height in the family.
Yeah, I was going to say. We got a lot of stories to get to. I'll have some thoughts on Bubba Wallace, that situation with NASCAR that is troubling. But I want to start with two stories here. So Dak Prescott plans to sign this morning a franchise tag, a franchise tender. Now, what does that mean? That simply means he can't hold out and he still has a month to work on a new contract. Now, I've been saying this for 18 months. I'm over this story. Pay him or don't. And I've argued he is the perfect franchise tag quarterback, where he feels like he's 12th, 15th best quarterback in the league, but if you pay him a big contract, are you tied to that and he's overpaid? And, you know, I've always felt the same with Dak. The things I like about him really aren't the football things. His arm is average. He's an athlete, but not great. But the leadership, the toughness, you know, that's stuff I like. But it's interesting. I've been told he's going to sign a deal. And I keep saying Dallas pays everybody. Where's the deal? I'm not so sure he is. So last Friday, I did something with him. I said, if you could just get the opinions out of it and you could create a data point on wins, playoff wins, production, and availability, and you looked at Dak Prescott, where should he be paid? No opinions. 10th in wins, 13th playoff wins, 13th production, tied for first in availability over the last 4 years. And that makes him the 9.5 highest paid quarterback, about Ryan Tannehill, $29.5 million. But I thought to myself, instead of, because I think we all think he deserves more than that. I thought to myself, okay, let me get a comp for Dak. Because there are a lot of people that are upset. Dak deserves it. And I'm like, all right, let's get a comp for him. And there's a really good comp, Kirk Cousins. So Kirk Cousins, like Dak, was drafted in the fourth round. And Kirk Cousins, he didn't get a play initially because Washington drafted RG3, then that fizzled out, and then they put Kirk Cousins in. So Kirk Cousins, you forget this, finally allowed to start third year. His numbers are really good. He goes 9-7. 70% completions, 101.6 passer rating, 29 TDs, 11 picks. Those are big boy numbers. And he didn't have Dak's offensive line. So he goes 9-7. The franchise, right? Like the franchise. And he's like, I'm pretty old. So they say, give me another year. So the next year he comes out and he goes 8-7-1. By the way, they lost 4-1 possession games and tied one. He could have very easily gone 11-5, 10-6, goes 8-7-1. Puts up good numbers, completion percentage close to 70, passer rating like elite, like Pro Bowl level. And they franchise tag him. Now remember, the franchise tag then was $19 million. Now it's almost $31.5 million. Were we outraged by Kirk Cousins? Not really, I wasn't. I was like, I like him. I'm not giving him a five-year deal. In fact, when Minnesota signed him, I'm like, that's a lot for Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was Dak. Except Dak has a better offensive line. You could argue Dak's got better weapons than Kirk Cousins. And back then it was $19 million. Now it's almost $32 million. So the point being, if Dak gets a contract, I'm good with it. But I would argue Dak and Kirk Cousins are mostly the same guy. Now, I like Dak more, slightly. I think Kirk throws a better ball. He's a better thrower, accurate thrower. I think Dak's a little tougher, a little more athletic. And I think they both have nice leadership skills. I'd take Dak in big moments over Kirk. So I like Dak more than Kirk. But my takeaway on this, it's the same dilemma with both. There's a bunch of old quarterbacks in the league that appear to still be better. And there's a bunch of really good young quarterbacks in the league that appear to have a higher ceiling than Dak and Kirk. And with both, I feel the same way. I mean, if you give them a deal, it's not going to crush the franchise. And you could certainly make arguments statistically, productivity, they've earned it. But with both, it kind of feels like, man, there's old guys that are still better. There's a bunch of young guys that look like they have higher ceilings. And do I want to pay my guy top of the market or near it? And he kind of feels like B, not A. So whether Dak gets it or not, there can't be any real outrage for it. This is Kirk Cousins. And nobody lost any sleep over Kirk Cousins. And I like Dak more than Kirk, but not a ton more. There's a way bigger gap between like Mahomes, Lamar, and Dak than Kirk Cousins and Dak. So the issue in a salary cap league is I can like a guy, but to pay him top of the market in any position, I got to love a guy. And I don't love Kirk. I don't love Dak. He did sign the franchise tender, meaning he's got now about 3 weeks to get a long-term deal potentially. I keep being told he's going to get it. But if not, he plays for $31.4 million, which I have always felt is closer to his market value. All right, this story. New rule on the show. From this point forward on the show, I don't do this very often. New rule. If a team drafts you anywhere, first round, sixth round, and within 2 years of being drafted, you are arguably, or maybe even not, the best player at your position, just pay the guy. Just pay the guy. So the Jets draft Jamal Adams. He becomes the best player in the league at his position. And suddenly that's a problem. No. That's what you're hoping for. So Jamal Adams was driving around this weekend, and he was in Dallas, a Cowboy fan. I think he was in Dallas somewhere. So here's the piece of audio we have Jamal Adams brings up wanting to play for the Cowboys.
Hey! What's up, bro? Hey, you coming to Dallas?
Hey, man, I'm trying, bro.
Okay. Just a new rule. The whole point, people say, well, he's a safety. And I thought about it this weekend. Well, safety has to matter because they drafted him with a number six pick. Wait a minute. So the Jets were telling you, woo, we need a safety. And you got it, and he was great. And now you're saying, well, he's a safety. Nobody drafts a punter in the first round. Nobody drafts a kicker in the first round. When the Colts drafted the best offensive guard in the last 20 years in college football, everybody went, a guard in the first round? You drafted him six. So you can't tell me now it doesn't matter. The other thing businesses do all the time, and I've dealt with this in my career, they go, whoa, 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 we're setting a precedent. Jamal Adams is the precedent. If Marcus May of the Jets came in and said, I want that contract, you'd be like, no, thank you. No, no, you can go to the Bengals. We'll trade you. Like, the new rule on the show, when Zeke came to the Cowboys, he not only could run, not only could catch, he was one of the top five blocking backs. Just pay him. I don't care about the position. The whole point of the draft is, especially when you're drafting guys first, second round, you're drafting Pro Bowlers. So if you outperform your contract, and they thought Jamal Adams would be good, did anybody think he would be arguably a top 7-8 player in the league? I honestly believe, I've said this before, he's one of the top 5-7 players in the NFL. But let's just stop. The whole point of the draft, and a lot of guys underachieve, when you go to the first round, that means this is a position of need. Nobody's drafting punters there. This is a guy we're hoping is a Hall of Fame level talent. And if he not only is a Hall of Famer, but it doesn't take him any time to develop. Like Jamal Adams has been great by like his seventh game in the NFL. Just pay him. I don't want to hear about precedent anymore. Listen, you have to make exceptions for exceptional people. Kyle Shanahan, and I know there's no salary cap with coaches, but he had 3 years left in his contract. San Francisco's like, we're going to tear it up and give you a new one. Kyle Shanahan has a losing NFL record. Now think about that. He's got a losing NFL record. And the Niners are like, we ain't letting this guy get into the market. We're just going to sign him up. Now, I know it's coach. But they made an exception because Kyle Shanahan is exceptional. Oh, by the way, in the last 4 years, I looked it up. Jets have drafted one player who became a Pro Bowler. It's him. I don't want to hear about precedent. I don't want to hear about exceptions. Do it. And this idea that he's a safety. No, he's not. The more I think about this, he's a linebacker. They put him at defensive end. He's a football player, and he's by far and away the Jets' best football player, and he's by far and away the best football player at his so-called position. Just pay him. You know, I went back and forth on this the last month and a half. I'm like, you can do either way. And I'm like, no, stop. New rule. I don't want to keep flip-flopping on this. New rule. I draft you. You're the best player in the league at that position. I don't care about how many years left. Front offices, figure it out. Oh, by the way, you're still not paying Sam Darnold for 2 years. Figure it out. Pay him. Keep him. All right. Disturbing story in NASCAR. Many thoughts on that. Colin Kaepernick, Brett Favre's on his side now, which is driving some people crazy, which is why I think I'm becoming more of a Kaepernick fan. All of that coming up next, plus Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, Doug Gottlieb this hour too.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
NASCAR says a noose was found in Bubba Wallace's garage at Talladega. Disgusting. Bubba Wallace used to be on the Truck Series. He's never wanted to be political. Great driver. Was very, very good in the Truck Series. And then they moved him up to NASCAR, where he's been fantastic. He will, in my opinion, become much more popular immediately. They don't have the video yet. The FBI is involved. This is a death threat. That's why the FBI is involved. This should be treated as a death threat. I don't want to hear about anything else. That's how it should be treated. And to the fullest extent of the law, throw the entire book at whoever did this. It is gross and it is frightening. NASCAR should thank itself that Bubba Wallace is uniquely qualified to handle this. He is a real grown-up. In fact, he never really got into politics until recently in Atlanta. There was a race and somebody in his crew kneeled. And it moved him. And he said, you know, it's time I maybe talked about this stuff. He is the future of NASCAR, it should be noted. Young, qualified, and tolerant. And if NASCAR's got to get rid of 15 to 20 to 25 to 30% of their fan base and bring in people who understand the world we live in, I am all for it. NASCAR, again, is incredibly lucky that Bubba Wallace is uniquely qualified to handle this. I have never wanted to find a piece of video more in my life. This is why we have Black Lives Matter. This is why we have protests. This is why we'll keep you updated on this story. I think, first of all, NASCAR, to its credit, immediately acted, swiftly acted, and appeared to be really ticked off. But to me, NASCAR has gotten old. The audience has gotten old. Maybe it's time to flush a little bit out. Maybe it's time for 30, 40% new drivers, new people, and some new fans who get the new world we live in.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
And in fact, one of the things that was never discussed about the ratings when Kaepernick played, they were down that year 8%. Oh, that's funny. NFL ratings were down 8% that year. College football ratings were down double that. I'm reading it right now. 2016, CBS, SEC down 10%. ABC, 18. Fox, 23. ESPN, 6. What's funny, Kaepernick didn't take a knee for college football. So why were the college football ratings down way more than NFL? I thought it was Kaepernick. Donald Trump was running for president against Hillary Clinton, who at minimum is polarizing. So you had the most polarizing Democrat on the face of the planet, Hillary Clinton. Yeah, the most polarizing human ever running for president, Donald Trump. And the NFL ratings were down the Kaepernick knee year 8%. Not 18, not 28, not 38, not 48. 8. Studies indicate men watch two things on cable TV, sports and politics. So as Fox News, MSNBC, and CNBC's ratings went up 100%, football ticked down. Most of us are grown-ups. Even if we agreed or disagreed with Kaepernick, we still watch football. Brett Favre this weekend thinks Kaepernick is going to go down like Pat Tillman as iconic. Here's Brett Favre.
You know, I can only think of, right off the top of my head, Pat Tillman's another guy who did something, you know, similar. And we regard him as a hero. So I assume that hero status will be stamped with Kaepernick as well. It's not easy for a guy his age, black or white, Hispanic, whatever, to stop something that you've always dreamed of doing. and put it on hold, maybe forever, for something that you believe in.
This just drives a lot of people crazy, mostly conservatives. Oh, my, I can't believe, folks. Nike didn't sign Colin Kaepernick because they thought he would tank their business. Nike stock is up 20%. Shoe sales are up in a bad economy. The thing was always loud voices. Studies show that people watch football. Just think about this. In the most polarizing election, I'm 55 years old, of my life, Donald Trump and Hillary, it was like beyond ugly. Ratings for all the cable news stations exploded. And the NFL was down 8%. That's it. College football was down 16% that year. They didn't have a Kaepernick story. The elections destroyed college football ratings and hurt briefly the NFL's ratings. Here's another thing that nobody wants to admit with Kaepernick. Most of us, and I've said this before, I'm not a big fan of people bringing their politics to work. I said this about Kaepernick. A, I think you should keep your activism. There's plenty of time for activism, and there's plenty of platforms for activism. If I have activism, I don't do it on this network. I do it on Twitter, Instagram. There's a lot of platforms for it. Be that as it may, you can disagree with me. You know, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just, my take has always been, I wouldn't bring a picket sign to Fox. I could do it outside the building. I could do it in my neighborhood. I could protest. I'm not a huge fan of kind of using your work for your activism, but a lot of people disagree with me. But the idea that it just blew the league up is a bunch of nonsense. It is a, most people can handle somebody having a different opinion, even if you don't like their opinion. Joe Rogan said something this weekend about Joe Biden and masks. He was talking about, you shouldn't wear masks, they're stupid. I totally disagree with Joe Rogan. I think you should wear masks. I think if everybody wore masks, we'd have a football season. What worries me is you guys won't wear masks. But I can disagree with Joe Rogan. I'm okay with it. I totally disagree with him. I think he's totally wrong. But I can still listen to his podcast if I feel like it. I'm a grown-up. I can handle a different opinion. What's interesting is, if you go back to the Kaepernick year, to prove my point again, because again, if you just want to be right and use your agenda to prove you're right, college football was down more than the NFL with Kaepernick. Why? Did college football get bad? No. It was Trump and Hillary. But what was funny about the NFL, the minute the election was over, the NFL ratings were down in September, October, early November. Then the election was over. And after about 2 weeks of Trump, you know, being polarizing, December and January, well, the ratings in the NFL, they weren't down as much. In fact, the Super Bowl that year was the fifth highest watch Super Bowl of all time. You want to be right? Run the Twitter. Want to get it right? Listen to our show. But the idea, what Favre said this morning, is remotely controversial. There's nothing controversial about it. If you politically have a point of view and you want to, you know, you want to, you got an axe to grind or you want to prove right, go for it. That's fine. But if Kaepernick comes back, it's not going to massively dent the ratings. I do think there's 2 or 3% of people that'll just say no. But I also think in November, Donald Trump is trying to get reelected, and if the ratings go down again, it won't be a Kaepernick issue. It'll be a Donald Trump issue, and they'll go down in college football, and they'll go down in the NFL, and then by December, they'll go back up. We like our football. We love our football. Colin right, Colin wrong next.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
It's good to have you in. That's Joy Taylor. All right, every week I do this. Colin right, Colin wrong. I'm both often. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Dak Prescott signed a franchise tag. Now, he may get a long-term deal, but I'll believe it when I see it. I keep being told by everybody he's going to sign a deal. I might think, well, they paid everybody else. When are they going to sign him to a deal? I think this is his value. I think $31.5 million is a lot of money in the state of Texas for a young man. Now, earn, deserve, blah, blah, blah. Doesn't mean he's not going to get a long-term deal. And my guess is, with Mike McCarthy, he's going to be better than he was with Jason Garrett. And at the end of the year, you're going to go like 96 quarterback rating, 68% completion percentage, 8-9 win team, and they're going to give him a deal. But until they give him a long-term deal, I'm right. This is what I predicted. If they wanted to pay him, they would have paid him. And $31.5 million, that feels like, to me, very close to his market value.
Where Colin was wrong.
Okay, 11 days ago, I made a bold prediction on this show, and here it is. So I get, what time is it right now? It is 10:35 Pacific. So by 10:35 Pacific on Saturday, we'll have a deal done. Yeah, that didn't happen. And we still don't have a deal done, and my sources were not great on that. Major League Baseball does not have a deal. It does feel like it's getting close. But I think even diehard baseball fans, I mean diehards, people that have defended it despite its issues for years, are over it and are embarrassed by it. We're going to have a season. It's going to be really, really, really short. It's going to feel different. I'm all for it. But at this point, I think even diehard baseball fans have to acknowledge this has been really a bad look for the sport.
Where Colin was right.
So PFF, Pro Football Focus, came out with a study last week. And it rated the best quarterbacks in the league on non-first read throws. This is when stuff breaks down. Russell Wilson was the best quarterback in the league, miles ahead of Aaron Rodgers, who I've been saying for years, Russell's better than Aaron. But look who else is on the list. Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo. In fact, you can make an argument. These are five of my top six quarterbacks in the league. Garoppolo is not the system quarterback you people are claiming. When the first read is not there, he is top five in the league. And Carson Wentz, despite all the critics, top five, and that is with offensive line and wide receiver issues the last 2 years.
Where Colin was wrong.
Fox Bet last week said Bill O'Brien's the worst coach in the NFL. In fact, he's the only coach that hurts you. You'd be better not having a coach than having Bill O'Brien. He's minus points. I'm going to defend this guy, but maybe I'm just seeing something. Four division titles in 6 years. He won a division with Brock Osweiler. I could just end my argument right there. But Fox Bet now, and they're not trying to win an argument. This is all about, like, analytics. They have Bill O'Brien as the worst coach in the league. He's 9-2 against Doug Marrone, and Doug Marrone is rated significantly higher than Bill O'Brien. And he's 9-2 against him with several different quarterbacks. I think he's a good coach. I think he's a lousy GM. But I'm in the minority. When I watch Houston Texans games, they are inconsistent. I'm not saying he's a top five coach. I'm not saying he's a top eight coach. But I don't see a team that's uncreative. I don't see a team where the best players don't get the football. When I watch their games, the best offensive players get the football. I thought he was very successful considering the Joe Pa Sandusky mess. I thought he was very good at Penn State. I'm in the minority.
Where Colin was right.
LeBron James runs the NBA. Several players for the last 2 weeks have debated Kyrie Irving, Dwight Howard, Avery Bradley, the importance of not playing in the NBA. Then Patrick Beverley came out with a tweet last week and said, LeBron want to hoop? We hoop. Absolutely. Been arguing this for years. He is the gravitational center of the sport and should be. He is well-versed on politics. He's well-versed on basketball history and culture. He's well-versed on media. He's always prepared. He is not perfect. None of us are. But LeBron James has made everybody, including Adam Silver, millions and millions of dollars. And if LeBron wants to hoop, we are going to hoop. This has never been a league where the Orlando Magic mean as much as the Celtics or the Lakers. It's never been a league where Judd Bushler means as much as Magic or Michael. It's a star-driven league, and he is the gravitational center of the sport, not Kyrie Irving.
Where Colin was right.
Kyle Shanahan got a new contract extension. And here's why I'm proud. We all thought he was a good coach. But a year ago, before last year, I said, I live in Los Angeles, and I like Sean McVay. But Sean McVay is not the best offensive coach in his division. And I said this as Shanahan was losing and McVay had just gotten out of a Super Bowl. I said, this is the best offensive coach in football. He is. This is. The Niners have secured Kyle Shanahan to, now he's got six more years left. It's one thing to say he's good. We all thought so. But you go 15, 18 months ago, and I swear to God, if you had a cup of coffee with Sean McVay, you got a job in the NFL. And I kept saying, I like McVay a lot. I think he's really good. He's not Kyle Shanahan. Proven again this week.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, Alabama, I've been banging on Alabama for years because they play a cupcake schedule year after year. And Nick Saban, after about year three at Alabama, decided I'm not going to go on the road and ever play anybody that you've heard of. Give Alabama credit. They went out in the last couple of weeks and they are scheduling big boy football games. home and home with Texas, Wisconsin, Florida State, Ohio State, and Notre Dame. Now, my guess is Nick Saban will not be around for the Ohio State and Notre Dame games. But nonetheless, I have clobbered them forever for manipulating the schedule. Everything is like at a neutral site at a conference. They won't go on the road and face a big dog. They won't. Georgia will go to Notre Dame. LSU is always willing to go on the road. Alabama isn't, but to their credit, they stepped up. I think the win, believe it or not, is not just for college football, but for Alabama. It lends credibility to Nick Saban's legacy. Because the one knock on it right now is he has ducked opponents. You can't say that anymore, especially in the next 3 or 4 years.
Where Colin was right.
A lot of critics on Lamar Jackson, and I didn't know if he'd make it, and I'm surprised by how good he's been. But even after last year, there's critics. And he did something again this past week, which I just love. He's never passive-aggressive. He just tells you exactly what he thinks. And he said last week, yeah, I overlooked and we overlooked Tennessee. He's also the kid that said, yeah, I listened to all you guys that said I wasn't a good enough thrower and I worked on it all off season. And he also came out and said, yeah, everybody said I was a little skinny, so I went and put weight on. How many young people will go out and acknowledge, I not only listened to the critics, but I literally worked on what the critics said I needed to work on. This is why I like him. It's not just that he can run around. The reality is, it's not passive aggressive. He owns his crap. He owns his weaknesses. He confronts them. And this is why I think he's special. He came out and acknowledged, we overlooked him. We just flat overlooked him. That's a very rare quality for a young person to be able to go, yeah, I needed to work on this. I needed to work on that. I needed to work on this. And I heard the critics all three times.
Where Colin was right.
This is the rightiest one in the history of the show. About 5 years ago, the Jets drafted second-round Christian Hackenberg, Penn State. Nice kid, nice family. I said at the time, it's the worst draft pick I've ever seen. He cannot play in the NFL. He struggled in college. He had 48 touchdowns and 31 picks in college. He completed 56% of his throws in college. And I said, this is not a bad draft pick. He cannot play in the NFL. He is not an NFL quarterback. Last week, he quit football. He's going to play baseball. I wish him the best. He's probably a great kid. But I said it at the time. This was not about, like, you know, I'm not sure he'll play. I said it at the time. This is an NFL football team that literally didn't do their homework. You could make five calls around football. None of the guys I like liked him. They're all like, no, he's not accurate enough. He's a big, great high school stud, but he doesn't move well. He's not accurate. Again, good kid. Last week, he quit football after never really playing. All right, there you go. Look at this. Coming up next, this is interesting. Drew Bledsoe, my guy, was recently in a Browns quarterback Zoom meeting with Baker Mayfield. Do you know what I had last Thursday night? I invited my buddy Dan Rodriguez over, and we had Bledsoe's wine. He'd never had Bledsoe's wine. His cab, it's the best cab I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a bunch of wines. His cab is unbelievable. And my friend, we had a glass. I'm not a big wine drinker. We had a glass, and my buddy said, can I take it home? So he literally grabbed the bottle and ran out of my house and took it home. So Drew Bledsoe, the winemaker, the quarterback, is coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Drew Bledsoe joining me via the Coward Global Satellite Network. Just talking about having a glass of his cab the other. Oh, my God. Look at this.
I'm working, Colin. I'm working this morning.
Talk about trolling people. So now this is Drew Bledsoe's winery, which is a stunning facility. You've been in the wine business for how long, Drew?
13 years now. Started in 07, if you can believe that. It seems like yesterday, but yeah, I'm kind of an old dude in the wine industry now.
And you didn't get into be a celebrity wine. Like, this is a highly rated wine. In fact, you told me the first 7-8 years you didn't make a penny. Right?
Yeah, no, it took us 7 years before we started making any money at it, but we've got our own vineyards, we've got our own facility, we've got our own farming company. I mean, we're kind of a real thing now, and thankfully we've got an amazing team that's kicking butt for us and making great wine year after year. You know, it's kind of like playing quarterback. All those guys do the hard work, and then I get to stand. So You know, it's kind of cool.
Double Back, by the way, is the name of the wine. Okay. So I want to talk about the adjustment period for New England. And this is not a shot at New England. But I said this was an organization that had a couple of Super Bowls, but they had a losing record going into Brady. He created this sort of unique kind of vision of what the franchise is. And I think it's going to be a real adjustment period, not just football, Tommy, but leadership, Tommy. I'd like you to address those thoughts.
100%. It's going to be a huge adjustment. You know, Tom, and it's kind of funny, Colin, when you think about it, you and I are a little bit older, but for some of these kids that have been drafted the last 4 or 5 years, Tom Brady has been football to them since they started watching football. I mean, he's there 20 years and you got guys that come in the building that are 21 or 22. They've never seen an NFL game or an NFL season where Tom Brady wasn't like the marquee, you know, quarterback. And so just the fact that he's there and walks into the room with some of these young guys, all of a sudden everything takes on a whole different level of seriousness. And then on top of that, you know, his work ethic, which is, you know, well known, and that leadership that he supplied, and not having that there, it's a big, big change to that organization. They're going to have to be some guys that step into that leadership void, and really try to carry that load, you know, for the Patriots. And then, you know, I do think, though, that with Jarrett Stidham, who I think is going to be a good player. But you also, you go back and you remember, you know, Tom's first few years, this wasn't the aerial circus where they're throwing it 40 or 50 times a game. The first few years that he was starting, you know, they're playing defense, they're running the ball, and they're taking care of him, not putting an undue share of the burden on him to carry the load like he did later in his career. And I think that'll be the case with Stidham as well. Early on, I think they'll take some of the burden off of him. Try to make things easy for him early. And then if he shows that he can carry that load, then they'll give him more going down the road. But you're right. It's going to be a big adjustment for everybody. Even as just a fan, it's going to be different, right? And to watch the Patriots, you have somebody else playing quarterback for the first time in 20 years is pretty crazy.
It's interesting. I think Tom's going to flourish in Tampa, but here is my only concern. It is very easy to find a guy that's intense. Tom Coughlin comes to mind. Take a really intense guy and tell him to chill out a little. It's different to take a very relaxed, chill guy and tell him, you need to be intense. New England is the epicenter of intense football. Tampa Bay, Ybor City, Cocktails at 5 has always been sort of a loose, fun organization. Tommy's going to take that intensity. Could it be problematic that it takes a while for everybody to understand that you live in the facility for 4 months?
You know, well, first of all, you know, there are these different cities where these teams exist, and Boston is maybe the most intense, not just football, but sports in general. I had to learn that. I came from a little small town in eastern Washington. All of a sudden I get slammed into Boston, you know, where sports is religion. You know, out here it was, you know, sort of something you did nothing else was going on. Out there, it's they live and breathe it. So the city, you know, that's different. But if you're playing a professional sport, and especially if you're playing football, if you're not showing up every single day with great intensity, ready to work hard, bang heads, you know, all of those things, then you're in the wrong profession. So let's start there. But then with Tom, he brings so much credibility, you know, to that organization that he's immediately going to elevate that within the building. What they do when they leave the facility might be a little different. You know, leave the facility and go to the beach. That sounds pretty good. I never got to do that. You know, I was in Buffalo, got to go to Dallas. So at least it was warm. But once you're in the building, you better have that intensity already. And then with the credibility and the work ethic and all the things that Tom brings, I think it's going to elevate things for them right away.
I want to talk about Baker Mayfield. You were on a Zoom call last week, and everybody thinks I hate Baker. I've said he's a franchise quarterback. He probably wouldn't be a guy I'd put my arms around, but he's got talent. And I did think I thought the coaching situation last year was not good enough at the NFL level. I just didn't think it worked. I do think he's going to have a very solid year. But again, I think his ceiling is much lower than a lot of other people. So you're on the Zoom call. Why were you invited, and what did you make of it?
So their coordinator for Cleveland, for the Browns, Alex Van Pelt, he was a backup quarterback with me in Buffalo for a couple of years. We were also drafted the same year. This is a good story. I won't take a bunch of time, but I turned 21 at the scouting combine. Right. And Alex was drafted the same year. He's a couple years older. So my 21st birthday was in Indianapolis at the Hooters in downtown Indianapolis with Alex Van Pelt and Gino Toretta. So Alex and I go way, way back. Okay. So, so Alex invited me to come sit in their Zoom meeting. We talked a little bit of football. He wanted me to talk some red zone stuff with him. And then he wanted me to talk a little media stuff with him. But then the rest of it was just telling a lot of old war stories. But one of the things that Baker has going for him, though, is that Alex Van Pelt is an outstanding football coach, not only X's and O's wise, but he played the position for a long time. And I tell him, I give him great respect because he played quarterback in the NFL for like 10 or 11 years with really not very much talent. I'd like to remind him of that. I do think he's kind of proud of it because he, you know, kind of a short guy that couldn't throw it real hard, but he played for 11 years. one of the great assets that Baker is going to have, though, is he's got a guy that's calling plays for him that not only understands the X's and O's, but he understands everything else that goes into playing quarterback. You know, Alex was he was in Buffalo with Jim Kelly. And then he went through the Flutie and Rob Johnson years, and then we were together for a little while. And he's seen the ups and downs of playing quarterback in the NFL. He knows how to help a quarterback. He was really helpful for me just as a backup quarterback. He was almost a coach on the sidelines. So that's going to be a big asset for Baker going forward. And I also think they've upgraded their offensive line. They've done some good things in the offseason to build from the inside out. You know, a year ago, we got all excited because they had all the bells and whistles and all the fast guys and all that stuff. But you and I both know that the true football organizations are built from the inside out, and they address some of that with their offensive line. I think he's going to have a really good year. I think, you know, I know you follow him on social. He's the only one you follow on social media. Did I hear that?
That's I follow.
You don't follow my social media. I spend a lot of time on it, Colin. You got to follow me. Come on, bud. I think Baker's going to be really successful. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
By the way, so do you have a camera guy there, or is this your own phone?
No, this is actually a camera. I'm at the winery. We've been doing so much Zoom stuff now, like everybody else. We decided to get a little more professional here. Last time I was down in the cellar. Today it's so beautiful out. I figured I should sit outside and drink some wine while I talk to you.
So it's called Double Back Winery. It is the cab is what are you drinking right there? It is great wine.
This is 2017 Double Back Cab. It's the best wine we've made so far. Although the stuff that's in the cellar may be better. From 18. Our team's continuing to get better and better at everything they're doing. And, you know, we've made some good wines in the past, but I think our best wines are still ahead of us, which is pretty exciting to say.
All right, one more question. Dak got franchise tag. Now, he still has a month to work in a contract. But I do think, here's my theory on this. If McCarthy wanted to give him 4 years, McCarthy would go to Jerry and say, if it was Patrick Mahomes, you'd be like, get him a 4-year deal. Let's lock him up. Is it possible McCarthy just doesn't know him and is a little reluctant on getting tied to him for his entire Dallas contract?
You know, that's possible. I think there's a component where they may want to date for a little bit before they get married, if you will, you know, rather than going into an arranged marriage and, you know, seeing if it works. I do like this move for Dak signing the franchise tag. First of all, you know, these rookie contracts in the NFL, it's millions of dollars, but it's not forever millions of dollars, but you know, franchise tags, 30 million, I think now, you know, so this is not chump change. So for Dak, it's a good, puts him in a situation where he's going to be financially secure going forward. It also gives him some negotiating leverage with the Cowboys. But I think for both the quarterback and the franchise, it makes sense to get something done long-term. Gives you more salary cap room, gives stability. I really am hopeful both for the franchise. You know, if I was putting on my Cowboys fan hat, I would be hopeful for the franchise that they would get a long-term deal done. And I really like Dak. I really, really do. I think he's a very good player. And then all of the intangibles are off the charts, you know, leadership, availability, durability, you know, all of those things. I think the Cowboys would be smart to lock him up, and I hope it happens for him.
All right, Double Back Winery. We got to make this a habit. This is from now on, this is where I want to do my interviews from. This is beautiful.
Absolutely. Next time I'll send you some wine. We can have some wine together. You know, I did this piece with Jeremy Schapp, and his producer was pretty funny because we drank an entire bottle of wine during the interview, and the producers were like, "Yeah, I didn't know if Jeremy was going to make it through the rest of the interview." He started lower his chair. So, you know, I'd send some rosé down for Joy, and I'll send you some cab, and we can get loose and have a real interview.
That's right. Jeremy's a little bit of a lightweight. I can handle my red wine. Not that like Jeremy. Good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, Colin. Good to see you, bud.